Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Hi, Sam. Before we get going with this Friday morning episode, we should fess up that we haven't recorded it on Friday. We haven't even recorded it on Thursday. We're recording it on Wednesday lunchtime because we're such busy men. So, you know, deal with it.
We'll do what we want. Listen, put it this way, right? The Friday show, as everyone well knows, is a look ahead to the weekend's fixtures. Now, we know what the fucking fixtures are going to be, right? Nothing's going to change between now and Friday, first of all. And as for other news in and around football or life, ask yourself this. Is there anything that could possibly happen between Wednesday and Friday in the first week of March that you would urgently require mine and Andy's point of view on? No, there isn't.
I think that might
be... So shut up.
That might be tempting fate. We could be in the middle of an apocalypse by Friday morning after you've said that.
We could be, but people aren't going to think... If they see the dark clouds in the sky, right, and the locusts and all of the other things, like Catweasel appearing giant and announcing that the whole of the human race is now Stray, for example, right?
The face of Grace Jones appearing in the sky. Time's up, motherfuckers!
Exactly. You know, when they realise, I don't think the first thing they're going to be thinking is, oh, I wonder what the chaps from Top Flight Time Machine will have to say about this. I bet they'll have an amusing take.
I bet they've had a sideways look at the week's events.
Yeah, at the apocalypse. No, we won't. And let me tell you, if the apocalypse does happen, really low down on our list of things to do will be to record our reaction to it on Top Flight Time Machine. Fuck that. Andy will be digging up his thermos flask from the woods. I'll be out blindfolded swinging a baseball bat around in my road in Barnes.
The Terminator.
And that will be those will be our priorities then.
The episode might not go out at all. If that happens. I'll upload it this afternoon, so I'll make sure it does. I'll put it
You can time it. And then it'd be
the
nice.
System.
If there's enough cunters out there who are literally as they melt in the laser rays that giant Grace Jones is shooting from her eyes at all of us, right? If the last thing they're doing...
You wanted this!
The last thing they're doing is lying, writhing in agony on the floor with their headphones on, listening to you and me read out another cunter's email about one time where they failed to get off with a girl who fancied them, right? If that's how you want to die, fucking fair enough.
Quite a soothing way to go. I think.
In fact, I tell you, on that note, if that's the way that you would like to end life, then a little side hustle that me and Andy are working on is that we do personal appearances for cash, as we've mentioned.
For cash, obviously,
We will also do eulogies at funerals of your loved ones.
Yes.
So if you die, you could tell your loved ones, I would like Sam and Andy to come and do something fun at the wake.
You'll need to probably come up with some kind of cover charge for attendees of the funeral because our costs will need to be covered.
That's the way we work.
We're not cheap. And I know charging for a funeral isn't really the done thing, but, you know.
But if you want a good funeral these days, people have got to put their hands in their pockets. Listen, I went to a funeral the other day. It was very sad, but
I'm sorry to hear that.
But I did think of you because not because I thought, oh, one day this will be Andy dead in a coffin. All dead. I'll be sat here probably about to make my really long speech that his family would have asked me to make. Right. Not that I was thinking.
We've got the church for a double session just for Sam to do his big speech.
But listen, right? Obviously, I was thinking about your death, but in a nice way. But also, the spread at the wake afterwards was sensational. And I did think to myself, it was the first funeral I've been to since I've been a vegetarian. Right. And it was a nightmare, to be honest, because for a carnivore, it was a fucking five-star spread. And I thought funerals are almost the best places for food.
Oh, yeah. How
better than birthday parties.
How beige was the layout?
There was a large... It was mainly beige.
Yeah.
It was almost entirely beige. And the main things that came out first were... This sort of, I suppose you'd call it like a luxury sausage roll. It was like a really fucking, as thick as a python, right?
Fucking hell.
And it was pork, like pork pie style pork.
Right.
But encased in pastry.
Okay.
So sort of like a sausage roll, across a hybrid between a sausage roll, a pork pie and a python snake.
Was it served hot?
Yeah, it was warm,
right.
So it was not too hot, not too cold, and it was sliced into quite
ready
generous
sliced.
Slices.
The segments.
And people were, like, devouring this, right? Then a load of mini cheeseburgers came out.
Oh, fancy.
Dripping in, like, yellowy cheese, like, you know, the square cheese you get.
Bit hipstery.
Yeah, a little bit, but they weren't too mini. They weren't bite-sized. There was a good 3 to 4 bites in them. They were medium-sized.
Midi burgers.
Yeah, and then there was various other sort of meat and pastry type products.
Sounds brilliant.
And I thought, and it was shit for vegetarians. Eventually, after ages, these little veggie like quiches came out that they just taste purely of pastry. There was no filling flavour at all. So I was really disappointed. I ate a lot of crisps instead. But I thought funerals are just the best food.
Yeah.
Do you know why they're the best? Because it's the same style as you might get at a birthday party in a pub or something. But less effort is made because there's a sense that if you make too much effort, it's almost disrespectful to the dead.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Yeah. If you're too fancy. But that makes it better because people are just going much more straightforward. Here's a load of cheese and ham sandwiches. Yeah. Here's a load of sausage rolls.
Crisps.
Here's some crisps. We're not going to fuck around because someone's died here and there's more important things than fancy food. We're not trying to show off at a funeral. So in some ways, the best food you can eat is at a funeral, I think. In fact, if people want to get in touch and tell us the best funeral spread they've ever had.
Yes, please. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you want mainly beige with a bit of colour added from, let's say, a bowl of chilli or a curry. And other than that, that's all you want, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, you might have some what's-its in a bowl, which are orange, but they're close enough to beige.
Yeah, yeah, they're on the beige spectrum.
Yeah. Right. Cold meats like salami, or is that a bit too fancy?
It depends on the what's the word I'm looking for? The victim. it depends on the victim and their own personal taste. I think if salami represents
victim. And most funerals you go to, murder victims. Is that what it's like in Sunderland? Like 9 out of 10 funerals in Sunderland are murder victims.
What's the word? What's the simplest word to describe?
Deceased.
The deceased, sorry, yeah.
Victim of death.
But salami kind of reflects the tastes and the personality of the victim, then that's fine. But it's got to be a reflection of who they were.
Listen, I want people to know, right, that despite the fact that I am now a teetotal vegetarian, and that's really boring, I do not want those lifestyle choices observed at my funeral.
Right.
I want people to get pissed up, but not to an aggressive state. No fighting.
Well, if there's any fighting, take it to the car park. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, give them a venue.
And they can eat as much meat as they want as well. It's no problem for me.
You're not going to be there, are you? So fine.
No, exactly. Fuck it. I'll be looking down. I'll be haunting it. Don't worry about that. I've already got good plans to haunt my own funeral and do some sensational pranks.
Have you got all the forms in? You got all the haunting forms in ready?
My wife is signing a posthumous consent form for me. Yeah. I've given her executive so she can sign the permission forms for me to haunt my own funeral. Because that's why a lot of people don't come back as ghosts until quite a long time after they die. And that is purely admin. because they don't get round. They haven't pre-planned their death.
Yeah.
I've put things in place.
Yeah.
So I know I'm going to be ready to start haunting almost immediately.
That's exactly it. It's that thing when you find out you're terminally ill and you've only got like 3 months. You put your affairs in order, but it's usually sort of living stuff and things that will happen for people that you're leaving
behind.
For the
people left behind.
You forget about the haunting. You're
not thinking about the afterlife. No, you're the one who's got to deal with that.
If anything, you're being too selfless when you should be thinking about yourself and what you're going to do afterwards.
You are, because you don't want for your first few months in the afterlife to just be beset with a load of admin headaches.
Yeah.
You know, just get it, do yourself a favour, get it done now, whatever age you are.
Yeah.
Get it done now. There'd be good those daytime TV ads presented by Peter Purvis or someone like that promoting this.
Are you reaching
the stage of life where you may be thinking about the afterlife? Have you submitted your forms to ready yourself for immediate haunting after you pass away? Here at Tilbrook Taylor Solicitors, we can put all your afterlife needs in place in a quick, easy, and most of all, cost-effective service.
Inquire today and get a free set of chains for your immediate haunting needs.
That's Tilford Taylor, ghost solicitors. Solicitors to ghosts.
I think we've just come up with another sitcom. I'll edit this bit out and we'll talk about it later.
Yeah. Do you want to know quickly about me bumping into a cunter in the wild yesterday?
Ooh, did you?
I encountered a cunter in the wild.
Okay, what happened?
I'd been over at Acast and I had been...
Hipster Central.
This is a little teaser for a new podcast we got coming out. But we got a new set of podcasts that will be coming out soon from our stable, which will be by the well-known... what would I call him? Football terrace icon, Kaz Pennant. And I'd been recording one with him, or I'd been like, you know, helping out. I'm not on it. And afterwards, we went to the pub for a Coca-Cola to discuss plans. And I was with, and Kaz won't mind me saying this because it's a little tease for what's coming. I was with him and his guest that day, Dodgy Dave Courtney. Do you remember Dodgy Dave Courtney?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So he was there and Kaz had been interviewing him and... It is a hilarious, hilarious interview. Like,
is it?
Properly. I was pissing myself laughing for that thing.
I used to write for Front Magazine about 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, and basically each issue was about 55% dodgy Dave Courtney content.
Yeah. Well, he tells a good fucking story, I can tell you.
Yeah.
And I won't give too much of it away, but keep an eye out for it. We were in the pub, and I was there with Kaz and Dave Courtney. Both of them are high-profile figures in their own rights, particularly in London, which is where we were. Someone came over to us in the pub. He approached us sheepishly.
Oh.
And we're very noticeable because those two are very...
They're larger than life.
They're visually arresting.
Yeah.
And bloke comes over and he taps me on the shoulder and I turn around. I went, all right? And he went, you're Sam Delaney, aren't you? And I went, yeah. And he went, I recognise your voice because I'm listening to it a lot. I love the podcast with you and Andy. And I went, oh, cheers. But I felt very embarrassed because when the bloke had come over, it was clear that Kaz and Dave thought that he was coming over to say hello to them.
Well,
and I went, ha ha. So if you're listening, mate, who came up to me in that pub near Old Street on Tuesday, I'm sorry if I was less warm than I might have been, but I was with two very dangerous men. And so he said, I'm a cunter. He said, but soon I hope to be a member of the Iron Filing Society, which I can tell you is a mad thing for a stranger to say to you in the wild. Andy.
Yeah, but there's no hope about it. He just
needs
to fucking hand the money over. It's as simple as that.
Well, I didn't get into that with him. What I should have done is ask Kaz and Dave to twist his arm into, you know, signing up there and then in front of us so we knew he'd done it. Do it. Get on Patreon. Do it so we can see it. So anyway, I said thanks a lot. But it was mad to have someone say to me in the flesh, I'm a cunter, but I hope soon to be a fully paid up member of the Iron Filing Society. And then I went, thanks a lot. Thanks for your support. He left.
Yeah.
And Kaz was a bit like, you fucking cunt stealing my thunder.
Famous cunt.
Like, Yeah, famous fucking cunt. Anyway, thanks, whoever that was. I've forgotten your name. I apologise. Next time I bump into you, we'll have a Coca-Cola and more of a chat. But I was a bit on edge. But there you go.
Well, the same thing happened to me. I went to see Frank Skinner at a small club in London last Thursday night. And afterwards, as I was leaving, the guy who runs the club sort of stopped me and said how much he loved the podcasts and also said that phrase, "I am a cunter," which is lovely to hear from a complete stranger.
It's great to hear, yeah.
And he also said if we fancied doing a show in his venue, then we could do that sometime. And we discussed maybe doing a VIP sort of meet and greet thing, me and you, didn't we?
Now, probably a conversation we should have off air, but fuck it, I don't care what the cunters think. When you say VIP, obviously I like that. Straight away, I'm like, yeah, I'm interested.
It just means people that's paid more money.
Yeah, so
standard,
is it a
normals.
Special treat for people who are existing Iron Filing Society members, or are we going to make them pay again?
Oh, we make them pay again, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, great. That's important. Yeah.
And we said that we'd have some kind of like a side area where they could encounter us, but behind a glass screen, so they don't breathe
out
air.
You could have a glass screen if you don't want them touching you. I personally will have my Bird Box blindfold on throughout the event anyway. Just because that way I don't have to make eye contact with anyone.
You could.
I will have my Brexit blindfold on. You know, my Union Jack tea towel around my eyes.
And you'll have the Terminator with you as well, just in case.
Just in case things get aggro.
That's fair enough. We'll do that then.
No, we will do that soon. The live shows, I don't know when we're going to activate plan live show, but I feel like the time is coming.
Each day that passes is a day nearer to the launch of the live events, I think.
First one in London, and then second one somewhere in the North Country. TBC, right?
Who knows where? Right, shall we have a look at this weekend's upcoming football fixtures and do a bit
of
predicting?
Let's fucking do it. Oi, can I quickly talk about the Champions League? Can I quickly talk about football?
Yeah, you can.
I'll keep it brief.
But bear in mind that in between us recording this and it going out on Friday, Manchester United have gone to PSG.
Yeah,
forget
about that.
We haven't got a fucking clue.
Forget about that. It's not often that I am taken aback by a footballer. Like, I've seen it all, mate. I have seen it all in this game, right? But when I saw this morning that Ajax had gone to the Bernabeu and beaten Real Madrid, who I think have won Champions League's last three times in a row, they'd overturned a 2-1 deficit at home. So they already, Real already had two away goals. And little Ajax, who I think most football fans have a soft spot for, they're sort of like, Europe, they're the neutrals team, aren't they?
Pretty much, yeah.
And they fucking turned them over 4-1 in the Bernabeu. And I watched the goals this morning, and the goals were amazing. Yeah. And this Tadic who plays them, I don't know if he's the same Tadic who used to play for Southampton. But
he's
incredible. He was the best player on the pitch. He scored one, set up the others, and they absolutely annihilated them. And I know this is a bit football-y, so apologies. We'll get back to talking about wanking and stuff in a second. But it was a real jaw-dropping performance. It's like, you know, like when England beat Germany 5-1 away. It was like that kind of thing where you just can't believe what your eyes are seeing. And there was nothing fluky. All four goals are sensational goals. They've annihilated them. And suddenly I'm thinking, is this like that classic Ajax? I mean, obviously the classic Ajax side was the Cruyff side of the 70s. But remember that one in the 90s, which, of course, was our heyday, and anything that happened in the mid-90s turns us misty-eyed.
Yeah.
Not least, I think, the 96 or 95 final.
Well, it was the Louis van Gaal team, that, wasn't it?
Ajax, but you can always name the team. I mean, practically everyone, every good Dutch player you can think of the last fucking 20 years was in it.
Yeah.
Right? Cliver, Edgar David, Seedorf, both the De Boer brothers, Van der Sar.
I wasn't entirely shocked by the result because Madrid have been in decline for a while now, and
4-1.
I know,
home.
But this Ajax team is fucking good. My kid told me this because he watches YouTube channels every day, which cover all of the continental football. He's like a little European Bundes expert.
He's an expert. He's like one of those hipster fans they get on the Guardian podcast. He could do that.
And he's telling me, oh, this Ajax team's really good. They've got, you know, got Frankie de Jong and all this going on. Hunter Lars back and all this sort of stuff. And Daily Blind. And he gives me all the gen. So you're
in the know. Your son's ITK.
I'm not as in the know as he is.
I think it's really exciting. I mean, imagine if this is the year that you get Ajax go into a final. and winning it, like one of the smaller clubs doing it. It'd be great.
It's up for grabs this year, I think. I don't think there's any outstanding teams in Europe.
Madrid are out. Barcelona are not outstanding. I think Juventus were... Actually, I shouldn't talk about them because... Oh, no, they're playing next week.
Yeah.
They're already 2-1 down to Atletico Madrid. But with Ronaldo in the team... I think any team that's got Ronaldo in it has got a fucking chance of winning.
I would like to see Atletico Madrid win it because the final's in their new stadium this season. And also because Simeone is an incredible man. And he did that fantastic thing where he cupped his balls...
With his crotch.
...to celebrate a goalie of the week.
Yeah, so which is the... Probably the best goal celebration we've seen invented in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, as a romantic, I'd like to see them win it this season. But it's up to grabs, I think.
My son has got a soft spot for Atletico Madrid. He always plays as them on FIFA. He seems to like Griezmann. And when I discovered only this morning that the final was in their stadium, and he said, oh, I'd love to go to it.
Ooh.
Fucking entitlement. He's only 7. He's only just got into football. Suddenly he wants a Champions League final ticket in Madrid.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
However, it's a good idea, though. Tell him that in 2010, the final was Inter versus Bayern Munich, and it was at the Bernabeu. And my Italian cousin, who lives in Milan, was having his stag that weekend in Madrid. And he said, let's all try and get tickets for the final. And his best man, his brother, sent round a message to everyone saying, listen, tickets are going to be hard to come by, but there's a link here and there's a lottery that you can enter. Ooh. And you have to give out a certain amount of tickets. Now, there was about 20 of us going on this stag, a couple from London, the rest all from Italy. And we all entered. And the only cunt who got the fucking ticket was me.
Sam Delaney.
I fucking entered a lottery for a Champions League ticket and I got it. It was amazing. And then when we got to Madrid, all the other fuckers bought tout tickets and they were going to the cash point withdrawing huge sums of money, cleaning themselves out and going out on the street and buying silly tickets for silly money.
Yeah.
And then you have to sort of blag your way in because it's one of those things where you have to show an ID card with the ticket. Yeah. Not me. Straight I had like in. A ticket for like, it was €40. Walked in on my own, legit.
Took the Terminator in.
Took the Terminator in. There's no problem with that because I put my papers in. You can put papers in advance if you want to take a baseball bat in to the Bernabeu. And it was great. And what was also, I wouldn't say great because we endeavour not to come across as modern men on this podcast, but on the same weekend, the same stag, there was a dwarf stripper.
Oh,
In a limousine.
Oh, the fucking full Monty. Fantastic.
So she performed in the limousine as it drove along.
Wow.
Because her dimensions were sufficiently small
for it to be able to
do a full routine in a stretch limo.
Yeah. There's not much.
It was a good weekend.
Red hot content.
While we're talking about finals, can I just add how delighted I am to be planning a trip to Wembley at the end of this month with Sunderland for the Chequered Trade Trophy
Congratulations,
final.
Mate.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. You won the semi last night, right? It was
Bristol
on the box,
Rovers,
wasn't it?
We beat Bristol Rovers 2-0 and we're going to Wembley. We've got 40,000 tickets. Mm. We're all going down there. We'll be in Covent Garden the night before.
Covent?
Walk
in the
tearing
garden.
That up.
Where are you going? In London. Covent Garden, of course. They've got all the theatres. They've got the street performers. They got the lot. Where else would you go? You go to the piazza, you see a man, and he's dressed all silver like he's a fucking robot, but he's not a robot. He just looks like a robot.
And he got a fella that looks like Yoda, and he's like up a stick. and I couldn't figure it out. I tell you, I stood and watched him for about 15 minutes. I couldn't figure out how he was up the stick. Incredible. But Covent Garden, I think it's just like a big bit of grass. So we'll all sit on that and have a drink. It'd be brilliant. But fucking, yeah,
it's the canniest place in London. It's going to be great, mate.
It will be.
I wish. Are you playing?
Portsmouth.
Portsmouth?
Portsmouth. They've got 40,000 tickets as well. It's going to be blinding.
They've got a lot of fans too, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, sounds like trouble, Portsmouth-Sunderland.
Nah. It'll be lovely. Well, it'll be a lovely atmosphere because, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's the Cheshire Trophy, so it's a bit of a bell-end cup. Mm. You know,
yeah, but the Sunderland fans...
There's not that much at stake. It'll be a party atmosphere. And it'll be, I'm telling you now, it'll be a better match than Chelsea-Man City in the fucking Carabao Cup last month.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So tune in for it.
It'll sell out, won't it? Wembley will probably sell out.
Yeah.
It'll be fucking great, mate. Congratulations. I hope you have a great night. And, of course, big Sri Lankan Mark... Our friend and colleague, it lives in Wembley. So if you have any needs or concerns whilst there, like if you need some inexpensive Levi's, he'll have a cousin who can get those for you, for example.
Well, at the minute, there's 8 of us going down, so if his floor accommodates 8, I'll be making a call.
Give him a buzz. He'll let you in. His missus won't mind if you all just turn up half cut after winning the cup.
Yeah, to be totally honest, I booked the hotel 6 weeks ago because I knew this was coming.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'm trying to get my son said, my daughter's going out this weekend with her mates. And my son said, what should we do, Dad? Mm. And I said, well, West Ham are away, so we can't go to football. We could go to another football match. He went, yeah, all right. And I looked, and AFC Wimbledon are playing Doncaster just up the road at Kingstonian, which is like almost the nearest ground to where I live. It's like a 10-minute drive. I thought that'd be a laugh.
Yeah,
you just walk in on the day, it's probably going to be 10 quid.
Yeah.
Well, he's 10. This is the same kid who's requested a ticket for the Champions League final in Madrid. Turned his fucking nose up, didn't he? Well, I don't know. What are they called again? AFC Wimbledon, Doncaster. No, and I said, no, this is proper football, mate. It's proper football. It'd be great. We'll go out there. We'll have a pie. Yeah. I mean, it would be good, wouldn't it? I'm going to keep working on him for that.
Definitely go to that. Look at that. Right, let's do some predictions.
Yeah.
We've got 5 matches chosen at random by the fixture selector. Computer. First up, we've got Leicester versus Fulham. 2 teams with new managers that are drifting aimlessly around the season.
Yeah. Anything Leicester versus Fulham. At Leicester. I think Leicester are going to win this. They're going to win it.
It's Brendan Rodgers' coronation, if you like. But also, you've got Scott Parker. Is he going to do anything at Fulham? Will he turn it around? Tricky one, this.
No, he won't. He can't. I think they've appointed him with a view to probably retaining him next season. I can imagine him doing a good job down there. He's got to find his feet.
Yeah.
He's a good man. And Brendan Rodgers, very serious. He'll be boring them to death, won't he, at Leicester at the moment, those poor players. I mean, in the heyday, they had like one of the most fun men in football, Claudio Ranieri.
Yeah.
Just every day, I bet he came in with a squirty flower or an electric handshake device or one of those... like invisible strings that you can stick a fiver to on the floor and then say Jamie Vardy goes to pick it up. Ranieri would press a button and it would zip away. I got you again, Jamie Vardy. Really good fun.
Maybe putting cellophane over the toilet pot.
All that stuff. They've gone from that, which was the sort of frivolity and japes that drove them to the most improbable league title win of all time, to then fucking put PL... who's just whispers. They couldn't hear a fucking word he was saying.
Sexy
and
whispers,
now,
though.
They have got the most serious man in football.
They've got Brendan football's Rodgers. Top middle management bullshitter.
Yeah, he'll be there with his deck.
He'll have a deck out,
a deck on Fulham. A deck on Fulham, mate, are you sure? That is the most boring thing I've ever heard in my life. That's what fucking Vardy will be saying.
We just
correctly.
Hit it over the top onto Vardy. And he gets on the shoulder of the defender, he outruns him and scores. That's what we do.
No, lads. Look at my deck on Fulham. Fuck off, mate. You have got to be fucking joking. If you think I've got time to sit and look at a deck on Fulham when we're mid-table anyway, you've got another thing coming.
What are you talking about? It's only going to take 3.5 hours. Now, come on, sit down, lads.
So, in this piece, in this envelope, I have written down 4 players who I predict will give away throw-ins in this game. At the end of the game, I want you to open it, and you'll see I'm right, and then we'll move on from there.
If I wasn't right, we'll just forget about the whole thing, and I'll mysteriously lose the envelope.
2-1.
2-1 Leicester. Thinking it's going to be... I think Leicester will probably win, but it'll be 2-0. Onwards. Newcastle United versus Everton.
Oh, Newcastle were... They didn't really show up against West Ham at the weekend. That was a classic case of West Ham won.
Yeah.
But almost by default. They were poor, but they'll probably be better at home. Everton are a complete fucking...
You don't know what you're going to get.
You don't know what you're going to get. I'm going to have to go 1-1 in this.
1-1. I mean, your man, Marco Silva, the fraud, might have started to tighten things up a bit there, but we're not sure. My heart says 1-0 to Everton, but I'm going to go 2-2.
Right.
On to the Saturday evening tea time kickoff, which is Manchester City versus Watford. I feel as though this was played 2 weeks ago, but perhaps it wasn't.
It feels like the sort of game that's always happening.
Yeah. Somewhere in the world. You can go first with this one.
No, I've gone first with the other two.
Yeah, you didn't have to with the last one. You chose to. Oh, all right. I'll go first with this one. Fucking hell. 3-0 Man City.
I'll go 2-0 Man City.
Right, you up. Fair enough. And on Sunday...
I hope what's his name solved knife crime by then. Troy Deeney.
Troy Deeney. Or John Inverdale. Either of them. They should
team up. It's only a matter of time before some like Alan Partridge type BBC journalist asks Raheem Sterling, or the Sun do a front page on how Raheem Sterling's done nothing about knife crime.
yeah,
despite being rich and black.
Yeah, it's grimly inevitable, isn't it? Although BBC have already got Dion Dublin doing Homes Under the Hammer, so you could see Deeney and Inverdale teaming up to do a daytime TV knife crime week-long special, perhaps, couldn't you?
So like a knife crime special that was sort of palatable to retired old women as well, who were obsessed with their cat. So it'd be nice pastel jumpers, sat on a sofa up at BBC Birmingham, open window behind, so you see members of the public walking past. It's like, hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and I am Troy Deeney, and I am John Inverdale. And welcome to Knife Crime Live.
Well, they only do Crime Watch Live at 9:15 in the morning, don't they? So it couldn't be too much of a stretch from that. I'm actually missing my favourite daytime programme to record this with you right now. That
what is
the one on BBC One, all about the A1.
What's it called?
It's
A1.
Called the A1. Something like that, the A1, what a road. And
it's
got
like
people getting pulled over for speeding. It's got crashes, people breaking down. Fucking bits of bridges falling off. It's got everything.
Really? Brilliant. So it's quite dramatic.
Well, it's not that dramatic. It's kind of nice, you know. It's like sitting on the shoulder of a copper and going around seeing what he does. It's good.
I'll check it out.
All right. There's about 10 episodes on iPlayer. Chelsea versus Wolves is the next one. Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m.
I think I might balls out predicting a away win here. I think I might say Chelsea 1, Wolves 2.
Fucking hell. This could be the beginning of your downfall, or it could be an absolute masterstroke.
No, that was pure gut instinct, and my gut hasn't failed me now for a couple of months.
Right, with that in mind, I'll try and do the same and go for 3-1 to Chelsea.
3-1 to Chelsea.
I think they'll be 2-1 up. Wolves will come back to try and get the equaliser. Chelsea will get the third on the break.
Beat them on the break.
Very
Big
specific
Wayne.
Prediction, that. Yeah.
Yeah. Classic. Finally, classic 3-1, that.
Finally, arguably the match of the weekend, Arsenal versus Manchester United, Sunday afternoon.
Arsenal, Manchester United, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
I predict that this will be probably
Can
be a
I
draw,
go first?
Actually.
You want me to go first on this one? I think this is going to be... Oh, fucking hell, I can't think what this is going to be. I'm going to go 2-2 again.
Yeah, I do think this will end in a draw, so I'll say 1-0.
1-1, all right then. Right, there we go. That's the predictions that are now locked in. And find out what happened on Monday when we come back. That's about it, Sam.
Should I do a quick story about being befriended by a stray man, just to leave our listeners with?
Why not? Yeah.
It's because it's really good. I like it a lot. It's from Paul Clifford. It says, me and my mates used to play football on the AstroTurf near ours every day, an hour we could, from about 13. When it was fairly innocent, to around 17, by which time it was more about boozing. We used to sneak in for free games when there wasn't any leagues on. Sometimes there were others doing the same thing. Often it was just us. One day, when we were about 14, a fella walked on in full Newcastle strip. Alarm bells.
Yeah.
I still have no idea how old he was, but I reckon about 30 at the time.
Oh, God.
He introduced himself as Eddie. Lived in Newcastle. All right, I'm Eddie. I live in Newcastle. So no idea why he was in South Shields, which is 10 miles away, on his own, in a full football strip. He insisted that he played heads and volleys with us, which he called, for some reason, 66.
Oh, shit. Insisted as well. Oh, God.
As Sam, come on, we're playing 66. What's that? We kick the ball to each other in the air, and you can only do it, like, in the air with your head or your foot. You mean heads and volleys? No! 66! So, does it only last for 60... Does it only last for 60 seconds? No, you daft bastard. It lasts as long as you like. So why is it called 66? Because that's what it's called. Stop asking questions.
Play it!
Play! Or perish. Right, he goes... As Sam says, we didn't really know what to say to him. Obviously, we didn't want him to play, but we didn't know how to say no. Classic, being befriended by a strain man when you're a kid. That's why I launched this category. He thought he looked a bit like Alan Shearer, only with dark hair, and used to bring posters of him out with Shearer's hair coloured in black with pen. Look, he just looks like me. Look, can he like me? No, well, I don't know. His hair's a different colour. No, it's not. Look, it's black like mine.
That's, unfurling a poster.
You've coloured that. Where did that poster come from? I carry it with me everywhere for when cunts like you start doubting what I'm saying to them as evidence. Right. He even had one of those caricature pictures of him, drawings of him as Shearer.
Fucking
he used
hell.
To bring cassette mixtapes for some of the lads. I brought you a mixtape.
Oh, God.
I distinctly remember a Pet Shop Boys one being handed to one of the quieter boys. This is so sinister. This sounds like a brilliant thriller. When we stopped going to football so much and started going out drinking into town, he came out with us then as well. Now we were older, we got a bit more cocky with him and started taking the piss a bit by asking why he hung out with us and where were his real friends, etc., etc. In the end, he stopped coming out, thankfully. I saw him going into the metro in Newcastle about 5 or so years later, still in full kit.
Fuck.
Presumably heading to South Shields to play with some new kids.
A new crop of boys. Oh, dear.
That's
me.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, although it's more extreme than I may have expected.
Yeah.
But there's always a stray man who befriends you when you're too young to say no. Go away, stray man.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I think every town and village has got one, haven't they?
We've all been in our youth, about 14's the prime age for it. We've all been accidentally befriended by a stray man.
We'll have to compile a dossier and one of those big maps. We'll get a big map
around the country. Where's the hotspots?
Yeah.
Stray man hotspots.
It'll be a public service.
We should be thinking about doing Stray Man of the Year awards, because there's been such a big reaction to Stray Man.
Yeah.
That we should be thinking of a gala ceremony at the end of the year where there's different categories of straying.
Yeah.
And there's one overall winner, Stray Man of the Year.
Definitely. It feels like a live show as well.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, then. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening, as ever. And get in touch with us on Twitter at @TFTimeMachine. And the email is topflighttimemachine@gmail.com. Keep the content coming, cunters.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.